Many of our fears, such as losing, making a mistake, not making a team, or getting hurt, have a high likelihood of happening at some point. Yeah, it happens all the time. It's not a matter of what if, but when. How can you, listening audience, handle that? Or how can your kids handle that? Joining us on the Addicts Gear guest line, sports performance psychologist Dr. Eddie O'Connor answers that question. Welcome to the Sports Project.
Thanks. Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Let's talk anxiety, and let's talk about the what ifs or when scenario. Interesting this week, the things you posted on social media, Dr. Eddie O'Connor, answer some of those questions for us.
Yeah, the reason I posted it is because this is actually something like year round is pretty consistent. I notice it in everybody. And it's what our mind does. Is like our mind is built to actually protect us. It's our survival instinct. We don't have a turtle shell or a skunk spray. What we have is a mind that goes out and looks for problems. So the first thing about anxiety is understand if you're worried about something, it actually means that you care. And so it makes it a natural outcome that some of the biggest worry problems we have is, oh my gosh, well, what if this happens? What if I fail? What if I make a mistake? What if I disappoint the coach? And when we just ask the question, we're immediately filled with the worst possible answer, not even consciously answering it, but the feeling that as if we have already not made the team or we've already made that mistake. And so the first thing to do is answer the question, well, what if that does happen? And you'll find that because most of these things could happen, we don't want to reassure people and say that they won't, right? Don't say, oh, you'll be okay, you'll be fine. That actually makes us more anxious. But you lean into it and you say, okay, if I make a mistake, well, you know, I'm an athlete. I'll learn from it. And, oh, if they're disappointed, you know, my coach can handle it. He understands what sport is about. And rather than trying to get rid of the anxiety, if we can understand that we can handle what we're anxious about, we do much better.
Yeah, it's really hard because human nature, especially when you get caught up with your own thoughts, when you're alone, maybe when you're laying on the couch, maybe when you're going to sleep and your mind starts racing, especially in anticipation of a big game that's coming up, your mind goes through a lot of things, and it's anxiety causes a lot of problems unless you channel it and use it as a lightning rod, use it as fuel, because don't you think if you're not anxious, you're not ready?
Yes, and as you said, a bunch of brilliant things in here that I want to go back to. So for one, you're right. If you're not anxious, I would say more so that you probably don't maybe care enough. And again, by anxiety, we don't necessarily mean you have to be having a panic attack or something like that. But anxiety is physiologically exactly the same as excitement. So really, as you talk about channeling it, the real difference is not your rapid heart rate and the tension that you're feeling that's a problem. It's you interpreting that it means that there's a threat and there's something bad happening. And again, half the time there is a threat. Somebody's trying to kick your butt, you know, sports a competition. So in the way that you respond to it ends up being most important. And another point that you start off with, which is absolutely great, you're like, oh my gosh, but it's hard. Yes.
Yeah.
And we say, but it's hard or but I'm tired, as if these are things that are the reasons why we don't do things. But change your buts to and. Challenging your negative thoughts. Working with your anxious thoughts is hard, or rather, it's like, I want to play well, and it's hard. Like, if we can start to not just give in to our anxiety because it's there and it's difficult, and then be like, well, I'm just going to believe it anyway, and understand that often what goes on in our head is very different than what's happening on the outside world. Don't let yourself believe something that the outside world is telling you different. Confront the two and decide either your anxious head, if it's particularly if it's running out of going crazy on you, or the evidence of what you can do in the real sport environment, only one could be true. And look at it carefully and don't let yourself believe both.
Yeah, it's so interesting because athletes hear a lot of noise from their circles, their parents probably in the inner circle, their aunts and uncles and coaches on the AAU level or the summer league level, on another level, and then your real coach, you know, your season coach who should be in the first level, and then you got your own opinion of yourself, and you got to understand, I'm talking to my listening audience now, that sports and being an athlete isn't for everybody. it's hard as hell. It's hard. And that's the beauty of it, is if you've got enough skill and enough talent, and then if you piled work on top of that, where you've evolved, then you're in sort of a special sphere. You're in a special group. And for that kid who might have physical talent, who just isn't into it mentally, then you're just not cut out for sports, because everybody's not cut out for it. And I think that gets lost in today's society when they look at a big kid who plays football who should be good, or a tall kid who plays basketball who should be good, and maybe they're just not cut out for that sport. Maybe they got to go to water polo. Maybe they got to do something else, or maybe they're a musician or a singer in the choir. And it's just, I think people put these athletes in a box where you should be doing this, this, and this, or you should be that. And when it really, and the thing that bugs me is, and I think I get caught up into it too, is that some kids just don't have that competitive gene, because everything's a competition. The practices are a competition. The weightlifting's a competition. The ability to get good sleep is really a competition, to diet properly or eat properly. And if you're not into that, then God, you're just not cut out for it. And the other 50 on the football team are, and the other 12 on the basketball team are, and you got to move on. And it's and winning and losing is a 50-50 proposition, folks. Doesn't matter how good you are, the best team doesn't always win, right?
Yeah, I really love what you're saying. When we use that word should, it creates so much shame and guilt, because it's as if, you know, this mental component, you know, isn't something that has to be worked, or like you said, a unique characteristic. And that's just simply not true. People are built differently. And so the idea of a should, it's like, well, no, everything is as it should be, even the bad stuff, because that's what happened. There were reasons for it. And then the idea of not being cut out for it, I want to be careful with the words too, and don't let people who aren't cut out for sport feel like a failure, because it's just that we're all, like, I'm not cut out to be a ballet dancer, or I'm not cut out to sing. It just means that it's not a fit, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. The basic requirement, to summarize it, as you had said, for the athletes who are in it and say, but I want to be a part of this, is to understand that hard work is a basic requirement for entry. It doesn't get you anything. It doesn't get you a win. It doesn't get you your place on the team. Adversity, as you had said, is such an integral part of sport. It's unfortunate when I see my athletes complaining about how hard it is. I'm like, that's the basic requirement.
Yeah, and you've got the ability, some of it God-given and some of it developed through your work effort, you've got the ability to handle it. And it's a grind thing. And coming out the back, I mean, I like to work out. I might dread going there. I might have doubts about going there, especially in this weather when the wind's blowing in your face and you're going, oh God, I don't want to go into this building cold. But then once you get lifting, I get a Jones out of it. I get adrenaline, I get endorphins, whatever it is, runner's high, I get from working out. But the hard part is just getting there. And once you get there, but I'm not sure all athletes feel that way. I think some dread the workouts and some dread practice and running and sprinting and jumping, and others feed off of it. So I guess that's just what you're cut out for, and coming to grips with it, or get your butt in gear and learn how to like it. There is, you know, that you can't just give up on it, because that's what a good coach pushes you to get off your butt and to get your butt moving. And that's the fine line in there too, right?
Oh yeah, Steve, that's actually essential. You're talking about a very popular concept that I'm sure many people have read and heard about, but that growth mindset. You know, you never arrive in sport. You never have it perfectly. I mean, whether you go from, you know, elementary school to high school to college to pro, you know, then you got to be a pro bowler, and then you want to be the best in the world, and then you want to be the best in the world, you know, 10 years in a row. There's always something where you can improve on. And if you're feeling like there's this line where you're either good or you're not, you're going to be stunted, you're going to be frustrated, and the comparison game's always going to kill you. But as you've spoken, if you understand that every day is a challenge for you to be 1% better than you were the day before,
I like
that's a goal that you can achieve, and it's one that you can go after each time, and it's one that requires mistakes. It's a growth process that requires difficulty. So when you get injured and it really hurts you and you're like, I'm not myself and I can't handle this, you can flip it around and say, and that's all true, and I can actually use this time to strengthen my mental toughness, to work through adversity, to push myself when I'm not motivated. There's always an opportunity, and it does not feel good. It does not feel
good.
And
that's okay.
It's not a way to make you feel better. It has to be okay because we have four basic human emotions: happy, sad, mad, and scared. Three of them suck. And so we have to learn how to live life with those other three, because they're, you know, the sadness, the anger, and the anxiety all have a great purpose. And they're all involved in sport. So we have to learn how to really stop caring about how much we feel and get back to the science of our sport, because, you know, basketball, for example, really doesn't care what we think and feel. Whoever scores the most points always wins.
Dr. Eddie O'Connor on Facebook, sports psychologist, answers the question of what if, and then answers the question, if X happens and if it's bad, here's what you can do. You can, number one, you can quit, which in my book is unacceptable, but you can. Number two is you can train harder. Number three is you can make the correction of your mistakes and learn, not lose, and go forward. Number four, if it isn't working out, especially on the college level now, with your team, you got a chance to go to another team through the transfer portal now. So you might need a change of scenery. Not everybody, but you might. And number five is learn to apply yourself to rehab if you need rehab, and with a mindset of coming back even stronger. So I think, folks, go to Facebook, go to Twitter. You'll get these answers from Dr. Eddie. Where can they get more information, especially in your newsletter?
Yeah, I've got all my links on my website, real easy, DrEddieO'Connor.com. I've got a link there to my Sleep Your Way to the Top workshop. You had mentioned earlier about the dedication of sleep, and that is absolutely an important performance enhancer. And I've got the Success Stories membership, which, again, you've been supporting for many years and been a part of. And it's an online community of high achievers who are overcoming their obstacles, performance anxiety for excellence. So there's tons of training that I do with one-on-one athletes, all there in video form. And then I've got at @SportsDrEddie is most of my handles for YouTube and Twitter and Instagram.
Well, geez, through this season of anxiety, I mean, there's people, this has nothing to do with sports. It has to do with Christmas and you know, living up to everybody's expectations of what they're going to get for Christmas. Anxiety might be at an all-time high. And then you throw in a blizzard warning throughout the whole Midwest here, and especially in Grand Rapids, and you've got anxiety through the roof. So my advice to you, folks, go out and snow blow. Go out and shovel snow and use it as a workout. And attack it, because otherwise the snow is going to pile up and you're going to be in an avalanche. So Dr. Eddie, hey, this is perfect weather for your Sunday football games, man. Landing in this stuff would be sweet.
Yeah, we've had two tackle football games in the snow, and I honestly haven't been happier. I don't know if I've been a sore either, but it is so much fun. We're having a blast.
Dr. Eddie O'Connor, sports performance psychologist, thanks for joining us this morning on The Sports Project.
Hey, always a pleasure, Steve. Take care.